is one of those times where I feel like my tongue is tied. When Dan and Nigel, or I should say Dan, approached me about putting up a fundraiser for our van, and I think I broke down in the Tim Hortons there. Part of the reason that he said, "Hey, how do you feel about that? Like, would you be interested in that?" And I, you know, he said, "I wanted to run that by you," and I just was very humbled. And I said, "Sure, whatever you feel led to do." But I felt like I wanted to take 2 minutes, and I know that the clock is ticking, and for some of us, we've got park and barbecue plans, but just to give a context, because I know all of us are trusting God for finances at different places and in different ways. As some of you may know, we pastored here for a number of years, and when we went off, God kind of pole vaulted me into consulting, management and leadership consulting. And God opened up doors that I never even asked to be opened. And this is a situation where I hadn't worked for 10 years in management and then, had my calling card like mostly happens, you know, in the world. It was the type of thing where the Holy Spirit just opened doors up and people were calling me without me ever advertising. And so we felt called by God as a family to do a two-step dance with the Lord, and that was consulting on one hand, paying for the needs of our ministry and what we were doing, and the other foot involved traveling, teaching, and preaching. And that grew over time, and in 2015, you know, we, thanks to the way that church has been running here, we're able to start All Things New Ministry. And in the last 2 years, God's just been opening up doors beyond the territory of Niverville, where we have been logging, and I'm going to tap this into our van, logging in thousands of kilometers more in our van than would be typically normal. And of course, I tend to be a bit of a budget guy, and so I had a fund for the van, and I thought we got a Honda Odyssey, so we got 500,000 clicks on this van. And I'll tell you, something that I'm learning the more I teach about Father God is that the more dependent that you become is indicative to how much you know Father God. The more that you know that He is the life source for everything, then there's nothing shameful about being in a place of need. And in our Western world, it's all about, you know, taking care of myself. And I know in Corinthians it talks about having a grace for your needs and for the needs of others. And that's the way we've tried to live. But all of a sudden, in March, was coming home from, had a meeting with a couple pastors in the city, and ka-chunk, right on the 311, our van went. And when we went to the Lord, and we were like, "Lord, we can drop in, a used van, engine, and kind of keep cobbling forward. It has about 340,000 kilometers on it, but we can keep pushing this thing forward." And there was a few thousand dollars more repair. And when we went to the Lord said, "David, I want you to wait and see what I can do. Trust me." So this is very hard for me. I mean, this is a new place for me in my faith. I'll just be honest. I like to have my ducks in order, and I like to see 5 years in advance. I don't know about you, but that's me. And every time, and I'll just be honest here, every time I was on the verge of calling the auto dealer or the auto wrecker and saying, "Let's drop that used, engine into the van," I kid you not, there was at least two mornings where I got up and I said, "Svea, this is it. I'm going to call the auto wrecker. We're going to get that engine in. This is," and then by afternoon, someone would call me and say, I heard that you're without a van. My car's available. I'm gone for 2 weeks. Do you want to use it?" That happened four times on the day that I told Svea. Finally, the last time it happened, I told Svea, "Okay, we need to just keep standing for what God has." And, it's a bit of an uncomfortable place. But having said that, as I've been learning to walk with Father God, there's a place of authority when you walk off your own map. And I've seen Raj do that. I've seen different people do that. And God starts to manifest who He is when you do that. But you have to let go. You have to let go of your security. And that's what we've been learning. So I just want you to understand that context. Those of you that are wondering what's going on with David and Svea, God's been just opening up. In the last year, my consulting has shrunk to a fraction of my time. And God told us in the beginning of 2016, David, I'm going to start moving you into more ministry opportunities. And literally every month we've had some kind of ministry open door. We can't even share it, all the different types of things that are happening on the side. And so that's kind of just a window into what's been happening. Just finished writing a book called Father Blind, and it kind of encapsulates the revelation of Father Heart that God's been downloading, and want to share that with you. We just want to, self-publish it and get the word out. Whenever we go to YWAM bases, I don't have enough time to go through everything, so I'd love to just give it in people's hands, say, here it is. But these things cost money. They have resources behind them. And so we're learning to trust God in our journey. And I just would really appreciate your prayers. If you decide to give money, great. If not, prayers are the first thing that we would ask for. And so all I can say is thank you, Daniel and Nigel, for being honest, or for being willing to step out and say, hey, let's get behind this. Happy Father's Day, everyone. I had to get that off my chest. Happy Father's Day. I tell you, doesn't fathering raise up the level of learning in us as men, eh? Isn't that true? I'll tell you, right from the get-go, finding the lack of patience in my character as I started to grow up in fathering. I remember we were getting ready for church. I don't know if I've shared this. And Eileen was like 4 years old, and she pulls on my finger as we're getting ready to go. And she's like, Dad. And she's really concerned. She's really anxious. And I'm like trying to get ready. I'm kind of distracted. She's like, does this match? And in my mind, I'm thinking, you shouldn't be playing with matches. What are you talking, match? Like, and I'm not tracking with her, right? I came from a family of boys. So match, this doesn't make sense. And I'm like trying to put it together. And I'm looking at her, what are you talking about? Does it match? And she's like, this is important, Dad. Does it match? We can't go to church unless it matches. And then I hear Sophia yelling from the bedroom, her clothes, the colors, do they match? All of a sudden hits me. Oh, it looks great. Meanwhile, I don't know if it matches. It's amazing. Oh, you're so beautiful, Eileen. But from the little things to the big things, fathering just draws us to a new place of learning to care, to love, but at the end of the day, to be selfless, to lay our lives down with our strength, to be a protection, to show provision, to give belonging, to speak significance and purpose to the deep places of our children. And I'll tell you this, there's a saying that I share with people when we teach on Father Heart. You can't be a mother or a father without first being a son or a daughter. It's very important. You can understand mentally that, oh yeah, I got a father in heaven, it's great, and he sent his son. But until you know him intimately, walking with him, dependent as a child, there's a limit to what you can transfer over to your own kids in terms of what the father looks like. So there's many times where I'm limping in an area of parenting, and I have to go to Father God and say, Father God, would you first speak to me about this for me, not for her, for me? Hello, maybe she's not taking responsibility with the lawnmower the way I told her three times to. But Father God, would you show me how you would teach me with the lawnmower? Speak to me how you would look in this situation. All of a sudden, it looks totally different. So this whole thing of fathering is just massive. And I wanted to talk about the benefits of adoption, but really what I want to do, because when I look out among you guys, I see average 20, 30 years of people that have sat in church and heard many sermons. So you guys could probably all take a turn here and teach, right? Yeah, you can nod. And I won't call you up, maybe. But let's just quickly turn to Romans chapter 8. It's a popular verse on adoption. And I'll just tell you this. I wish we had more time, because as I've been growing in understanding Father God, I've been finding that Father God is mentioned in almost every book of the New Testament. In fact, just as much as Jesus. For example, there's a few facts that most people don't realize about Father God. Did you know that it was Jesus and the Father that picked the disciples? It's right there in the book of John. Did you know that Jesus' mission in chapter 1 was to reflect who the Father was and to make him known? Did you know that according to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that it was the Father's glory that raised Christ from the dead? It goes on and on and on that Father God is integral to the salvation that we take for granted, that we walk in, that we stand on. That's our dad. That's your dad. That's my dad. He has a personal investment in us. You know, I've got this saying. I just love it. The Holy Spirit empowers you for your mission. Jesus transforms you into a new position, right? Position in Christ. But it's the Father that only and specifically can speak to your heart's condition. When my daughter's freaked out with anxiety and fear and insecurity, she comes and she sits on my lap. And all she wants is for me to speak to her heart condition. When she's there, the insecurity just drifts away. Well, we can run around, we can be doing Christian stuff and being in meetings, and if we don't know the Father's heart, we will jump into ministry and doing different things and go through life always feeling uneasy, always feeling that lack of security that the whole world is fighting with. But when you invite Father God to speak to your heart and you invite him as a child, as a little child, I'll tell you, there's a deep security that washes over you that you carry into every interaction, every conversation. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So the Bible says here that he sent a spirit of adoption. He could have sent a lot of spirits or whatever, but the spirit of adoption, why? Because God knew that we would need his help, his presence, to actually help us leap forward from an orphan into adoption, to actually help us compute and change habits and see ourselves and see him differently, that he would be our Abba, our daddy, that we could actually relate to him that way. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, he lives on the inside of us and he speaks and breathes security and he draws us to look to our dad. Say, hey, dad, I need your help here. I'm feeling insecure. Dad, are you sure about this thing with a van? Because financially it's not making sense. I can fix this. And then you just feel that wash of security. Everything's okay. That's the way we were designed. Jesus modeled for Gospels shows that we were designed to follow his example of him modeling what it meant to walk on this earth as a son, only linked completely to his Father, completely dependent, always needing him for every interaction. So what are some of the benefits? I'm going to just move quickly here, but what are some of the benefits of adoption? We're kind of talking, it's Father's Day. What are some of those benefits? Go ahead and yell them out. Now it's like, oh, I hate this when the speaker does this. Now, what happens if I yell the wrong thing or I misunderstood his question? Yes, thank you. You've got family in adoption. You belong in a family, right? You've got a new name. And that new name, the name of Jesus, we've inherited. Now we belong. We have honor through that name. And we're a part of his family. Provision. We've got provision. Father God takes care of us. The Bible says that if you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will Heavenly Father not give good gifts to those who ask? What else? Inheritance. Thanks, Dad. That's a big one. Can I get back to that one? I was going to end on that one. Are you reading my notes? Come on. Come on. Security. I'll tell you, they've been... You know, these social scientists, they throw out some of these studies that you think, well, I knew that. I didn't need a study to tell me that. But they're finding that something like 89% of the population of adults in North America struggle with continuous insecurity. It's become a part of their landscape. They don't even realize it. And I think something was it, you know, I mean, the mental health pressures that go with that. But I can relate to that. I've had moments of insecurity. I'm not so untouched, right? I know I am a child and I need my dad. I need my father, right? How about another one, just to kind of, there's probably about 10 that we could go through right now. So, but how about he's given you a new future and a new past? This is a big one. You've got your past completely gone. See, in Rome, Paul wrote this to the Romans. And when the Romans did adoption, they did it different than anyone else in the ancient world. In fact, it helped expand their empire because their adoption rules allowed them to bring people from other cultures into their family, and then they could keep building faster as their empire stretched territory. Okay? So all the things, when the listeners would hear, Paul said, you've been adopted into the family, the Romans were going, oh man, this is beyond good. Why? Because when a Roman citizen would adopt someone from a different culture, there was a big to-do. This took years. There was a process. There was a legal kind of council that would come together, a council of seven. They would actually examine it. They had ways of making sure that you couldn't go back on adopting someone. I'll talk about that in a minute. But basically, when you were adopted, your past was gone. You could be a psychopath and a murderer. That was completely forgiven, completely done. In fact, when the stamp of approval on your adoption was completed by the council, you were recognized, whether you were black, white, or red, as being the very identity of that father that you were adopted into. It was a big deal. Do you remember Ben-Hur? Okay, remember how Ben-Hur was adopted into this Roman consul, and there was this affection and this love? It's that kind of a thing. And so the Romans understood, and this part I love, guys. The Romans understood that when you have a baby and it comes out maybe deformed or it's got black hair and you wanted blonde hair or, you know, whatever the case, you didn't have a choice in what you got in that pregnancy. But when you adopt someone, you can put them under the microscope and you can watch their character. You can examine their personality. You can check them out before you decide to adopt them. So under Roman law, with that understanding, they decided that they were going to make it final, and there was no way to undo it legally. No way. I hope you're getting this. This is a big deal. What does that say about you and me, guys? Woo! There's no undoing it. It is final. Completo. Finisho. I don't know, some Mexican term. I'm trying to think of a good term that really clinches it home, right? Hello. See, what the Romans would do, they, you know, and this is in a secular pagan society, they'd get a baby, they didn't like it, it was maybe the wrong sex, they go to the river, and they throw it out. It was actually a historic fact that was known to be quite common. But when the legal council put together the law for adoption, they realized, hey, this parent should know. And if they're going to make a choice to adopt, we're going to make it totally totally binding, and then they can go through all the, you know, the checks on their list to make sure they're never going to undo this. Why would they do that? Because once the inheritance would start to go to the next generation, there could be no question as to who was the heir. See, God, this is what the Romans understood. God has passed on an inheritance that is beyond measure. And it is completely stamped in the blood of Jesus. So you being a son or a daughter has a dignity that is beyond. I mean, the angels of heaven look and go, whoa, this is grace. This doesn't make any sense. Now the inheritance. The thing that was different about Roman law versus any law in the ancient world was that inheritance began at birth, not at death. There's another consequence here. At birth, not at death. So you didn't have to wait for your dad to die before you started to upkeep and take responsibility for the estate. So that the father could determine and watch your character and say, you know what, son? I've been watching you. You've been responsible. You've been thinking ahead. You've been completing the task. I'm gonna give you that field over there. We're going to watch how you tend to that responsibility. And as I see your character and I trust you, you continue to go after that, we're going to add more to walking that out. And so that son, that heir, they had what they call skin in the game right from the get-go. Whereas in other ancient cultures, including in Judaism, the person had to die before they got the estate, the land. How does that relate to you and I? Guys, it's not about waiting for heaven. We are not. That is not the mindset that Jesus left, that Paul wrote about. He's saying right now, you have an inheritance, and I want you to start taking that field. I want you to start walking out that that territory I've given you. And as you're faithful in that territory, I'm going to expand it. Woo! Last thing that we didn't mention, what do all these things that I just mentioned kind of summarize? What do they mean? God gave you a new story. He gave you a new story. It's interesting. Scientists, as they begin to pull this under the microscope, they're realizing that we think in terms of story. It's one of the differentiators from any other species on Earth. Culture is created through stories. Your life, you have a story about your life, and some of it doesn't match up with God's story. You know, I was a victim from 6 to 8 years old. My friends bullied me. And so we hold on to some of these things. I'm sorry, it was tough. I'm not belittling that. But what happens is when Jesus died on the cross and he transferred everything, he transferred your story for his. And when he rose from the dead, you rose up with him and he sits at the right hand of God and he is moving forward with showing love and redeeming mankind. And he's saying, that's your story. Your past has been forgiven. Take my story and run with it. It's amazing. They've done MRI scans on people's brains, and they actually find that when you start talking about yourself and telling your story, the same pleasure centers that are all about sex and food that light up when you start telling your own story. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's like, the point is we enjoy to hear a good story and to tell a good story. Isn't it neat that the whole Bible, thousands of years, God could have transmitted all kinds of truth through different ways, but he transmitted through story? And you guys have a story. What's the nature of that story? The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. You got an opportunity to tell your story. A lot of times we think about the big things, like, oh man, if this guy in ministry, he's healed these people, and that's not the way I can't do that, or that's not me. Let's stop looking at each other and their stories, and let's start asking Father God, Dad, what's the story that you meant for me? What's your unique story for me? Because I'm in Christ, but I've got a different personality from Joe Blow and Schmo and Doe, and I want to take responsibility for the story that you've given me, and I want to walk it out. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, let your light shine so that your good works may be seen by men and they may glorify your Father in heaven. Light is a state. It's not something you do. So when I go into the workplace and I go consulting or I go wherever, I carry light. I don't have to preach a 3-part sermon before people feel light. You carry light wherever you work, whatever your job is, whoever, you know, the relationships that you have contacts with. And that light touches them, whether you name the name of Jesus or not, the state of his light is touching those people and driving out darkness. We've made this too hard, guys. We've had a list of when I get this done and I start praying for people at Portage Place and I start doing, then I've reached the mark. No, you've reached the mark right now in Christ. Now it's just a matter of, Father, would you teach me my story? That's number one. Number two, once he starts to show you your story, start sharing it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be some profound, amazing thing. Start telling your friends, you know, when you, hey, you know, it's weird. I had this nudge that I was supposed to pray for my neighbor. Or I don't know why, down the street, I noticed that, you know, widow's been off on her back for a long time. I just raked the lawn. Let it shine. Why? As you share your story, you're releasing God to take territory in your heart. But it also has a double effect on people around you, right? How many have been blessed by Dan Fuster's stories? Okay, how is that any different to any of you having a story that you would share? Say, well, I don't have a story. Is the Holy Spirit any different in you than is in him? The problem is that we've looked at stories and we've looked at he. That's the story we need. It's like, no, you've by creating that standard, you've lost vision of your own story. That's why it's important to go to Father God and say, Dad, would you show me my story? Because my effect is going to be different than Daniel's. That's the way Dad designed it. And then when we start to anchor ourselves in that, it's like, Father God, I want to just see the way you flow through me. and then start sharing that and enjoy his pride in your expression, the way he designed you for your story. I'll tell you, there are people in your workplace, they just need to have you confident in the light that naturally shines out of you because you're a believer. You say, what do you mean confident? Well, if you're always kind of questioning and I'm not sure and I don't have, you know, I'm not, I still got to do this. And I go, no. Except you are the light in your workplace. You are a son and daughter. Ask Father God to pick up on those things and then just start sharing. I'll tell you a story just recently. And I want to get in. Do I have your permission to go 10 minutes over? Please? Okay, I don't see any nods, so I'm just in limbo here. One of the things that God's been expanding in terms of things we've been called to walk out is creating an app. I'm going to totally like flip you guys. You're going to be like, "What's he talking about? He was just preaching about." We've been investing in an app called Impact Umbrella. It's on Android and it's on iPhone and it's on the website, and it allows you to tell your story. And here's the thing, it doesn't have to be, you know, if we would go to the news feed, you could see all kinds of different stories that already in 3 weeks, we just started it 3 weeks, we got about 15 people, users on it, and I'm inviting all of you, so maybe they would jack up to, I don't know, 75, I don't know how many people are here. But it's an opportunity for you to share your story, and when you do, whether it's, you know what, I saw a friend next door and he felt discouraged, I encouraged him. Well, you say, why are you picking on such small things? Because that's part of your story, okay? Pete, can you go to the homepage, please? Yeah, just scroll up. Just scroll up on this page. And then, actually, you know what, Pete? We're running out of time. Why don't you just go to the second tab there? This is the homepage. If you go to impactumbrella.com, you'll find that. You can get your own account. When you sign in, this map is what you're going to see. Go ahead and click on that. One thing I love about the Hebrews is they're about territory. They're about taking territory. And you and I are called to take territory with the love of God. I really believe the best days that we live in today are right now. We've got more technology. He's downloading it right on. Come on. We've got more technology at our fingertips than ever before. I love the fact that Gutenberg Press, that technology, was redeemed by the Word of God. The most printed document in the world was the Bible, and it was the first document that was printed on the Gutenberg Press, the first printing press in the Western world. Why should we stop there? Why should we stop when we've got technology like social media? Instead of cursing it, we should look for ways to leverage it to expand our small and big stories, to encourage the body of Christ in every region. When you get an account and you start plugging in and you start telling your stories, as soon as you click the submit button, there's an opportunity for that little story to touch however many people are on that network. So if we have 10,000 believers in southern Manitoba that have accounts, 10,000 people will hear about your story or have an opportunity to see it. Whether they'll open it or not, we'll see. And you'll get notified on your phone. Oh, another 4 stories just came in the last few days. Why? They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, as we allow Father God to shine his light on those things and the way that he's made us, and we start to share that, there is a courage that begins to expand on the inside, and we start to see a bigger picture. Hey, if you're in a dead-end job and you're in your cubicle and all of a sudden, bing, notification, you look at your phone, oh, wow, someone just got healed on the corner of Broadway and whatever. Okay, that's awesome. And then what's happening? That testimony is drawing your attention back to the goodness of God, drawing your attention to being the light, being the hope in your place where you stand right there and then. I've been encouraged. You can't see it. Well, maybe you can, but there is a news feed. We're not going to click there because he's not signed in. But right there, see that news feed? I'm kind of shaking her over the news feed there. When you click on that, you can read the actual details of each story. Okay? And so this is something that we've been prayerfully investing in for the last couple years. Had a few crazy things happen. I think we were halfway through, and we actually had the we actually had the my programmer's laptop stolen out of her apartment and the source code gone. We had to go back to the Lord and say, okay, God. But when I left after talking to Father God, I could see, okay, there's resistance here. There's something here that the enemy doesn't want. The enemy doesn't want you to start telling your stories 24/7 throughout the week, every day of the week. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop after this service is done. He's on the inside of you right now, 24/7, and he is churning suggestions, promptings. He's nudging you on the inside, reminding you that you're a son and a daughter, reminding you that you have something to bring, pouring hope into your heart. And so when you do something, you actually, I think a lot of times we take for granted the good that we're doing. We don't even realize, tie the dots, that's God who did it in us, who's prompting us to go that extra mile, to let an old lady go to the front line. All these things, why? You say, well, the world does that. But do they do it with the love of God? The love of God is tangible. And when we release it through our actions and our words, it transforms the environment. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and get signed up. Get your account. This is not for money. This is a nonprofit. But have a vision to see in every region an impact umbrella where people start to share their stories, and even needs. You can share needs. Hey, guess what? Someone down the street needs help. And when you post that, all the people in that community, in that network, in that region, pick it up and can start to work towards meeting that need. So we can multiply the speed at which we're making impact. Now, for those of you that are analytical, you're like, okay, Dave, what about someone who posts that they just raised the dead or that there's someone needs 100 grand for their neighbor? Are you going to let that get? No, we have a filter. There's an administrative filter. So we're not just going to let anything post. We're going to check up and, you know, I believe God can raise the dead all the way. But let's just do our fact-checking before we kind of post stuff. But here's going back to what we started with here. Father God has given you a story. It's a new story. And God meant for it to be played out every day of your life. And that is part of your inheritance, walking in your inheritance. And there's something about when we share, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and their word of their testimony. Do you get that? We talk about the blood of the Lamb all the time. But God puts word of testimony equal to or right on the same line. Of course, blood of the Lamb is first. But you sharing, opening your mouth, even the small things, giving glory to God, is going to encourage someone and lift them up. Okay, I want to just, maybe I'll just tell a story and then we're going to play a video and we're going to close. Okay, is that okay? Okay. You say, Dave, I don't know about this technology stuff. I don't know if God can use it, whatever. I had a situation come on my iPhone and it was the weirdest thing. I still haven't quite figured it out from a technical point of view, but I had a guy, I was calling my brother Matthew to get like a thing for a client that I had and we were consulting. And this is like 2-3 months ago. Some of you are laughing because I told you this story. And so I'm waiting and all of a sudden his voicemail comes up and I'm starting to leave a message. And then this other phone call just drops right in. And I look at my phone, and it's like a phone, I don't recognize the name. It's a phone number I've never had in my dial list. And I'm like, what's going on here? What's wrong with my iPhone? So all of a sudden, the guy picks up, and he's like, hello? And I shut off. I'm like, okay, I don't know who that was. And so you know, I'm kind of like, okay. So I'm going to call my brother again. And then as soon as I clicked it off, I felt like God, and was, by the way, it was some Middle Eastern name, Adil Madhu or whatever. I had a prophetic word for this guy. Immediately, I could just feel the heart of the Father for him. I felt kind of a little emotion come over me, and I felt like God was saying, hey, I love you. You know what? You've got a thing with your brother, and you've been fighting with it, and God's meant for you to be a change agent, and he's just all for you, and he believes in you. And I just get this string of thoughts. I'm like, okay, Lord, you want me to call this guy back because now I can do call reply, right? So I'm like, okay. So I dial, you know, reply to his phone. He picks it up. He's like, hello. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? He said, yeah, who is this? You don't know me, but somehow your phone called me. He said, I don't know how that's possible. I don't know who you are. And I explained, I'm just a guy. I'm a consultant. And I love God. And as I hung up, I felt like God wants you to know that you are cherished by him. And I just start going off, eh? I just like, just open it up, you know, talk about his brother and he's going to be a change agent. The guy's crying on the other end as I'm going off on this prophetic word with a stranger, I say, and by the way, have a great day. If you need anything, give me a call. Click. God wants to use technology, guys. He created our brains so we could be innovative, and then we're innovative, and then we just kind of leave him out of it. Doesn't quite make sense. No? Well, the Bible says, let all things praise the Lord, all things. I'm holding it up here. Statistics show that you look at this phone between 60 and 90 minutes, and I'm not talking about talking on it, I'm talking about looking at it, tapping on it, Facebook, XYZ, maybe you're not a Facebook person, but whatever it is, mapping, trying to find. Why not use 5 minutes of that a day to glorify Jesus? It could change the world. Okay. Sorry, guys. Okay, let's start the video. Then we're going to close.
Everyone who has accepted God's Son.
Can you back that up, please?
This revolution is undeniable.
Can you back it up?
Everywhere you look.
Thanks. That's middle of the way through. All right.
Have you ever wondered if your part in God's grand story is important? Have you ever felt small, insignificant, or weak? Is God's adventure meant for someone else more bold, smart, or maybe impressive? Well, today, growing numbers of regular, everyday people like you are leading a heavenly revolution in coffee shops, lunchrooms, boardrooms, shopping centers, and on street corners. We are seeing a movement of believers living with love, answering the call to help, give, and restore hurting and needy people in every walk of society. It's no longer the pastor, missionary, or Christian celebrity who lives a heavenly story. It's everyone, the architect, the homemaker, the salesman, the janitor, the student, everyone who has accepted God's Son. This revolution is undeniable and growing everywhere you look. It is rippling out with vibrations affecting many beyond our church walls. This surge is anchored by a conviction to step out beyond our own comfort zone and has been reflected by many before us. People we have heard of like Abraham, Moses, and throughout history, people such as St. Patrick, William Wilberforce, Mother Teresa, and so many more whose names have never been recorded. This courage is inspired not by some innate strength or rare call, but by the hope each one of us already possesses inside our hearts. In the past, we felt disconnected and fragmented. With thousands of different church brands and flavors, we've wondered, how could we make a unified impact on our world? However, this revolution is creeping past these paper divisions. Because though we meet in different places, at different times, and in different ways, we have a common heartbeat. His heartbeat. And though on our own the many societal needs seem overwhelming, we are part of a vast family, an army of love, people who share his heart of compassion and courage. And it's this courage that makes an impact in every community on earth. So how do you live your God adventure, his story for you? How do you engage this revolution? How do you connect in your everyday world with this courage? They say seeing is believing. Well, imagine if you could see a glimpse of what God sees today. The multitudes of needs and hurts, prayers, breakthroughs, and sacrifices mapped out within 100 miles of your home. Imagine being notified every time someone experienced encouragement, healing, and even salvation. Well, now it is possible. Allow me to introduce to you the Impact Umbrella, a community connected to multiply courage. The Impact Umbrella is a mobile mapping app designed to network you with every other believer in your neighborhood or city. Every time you see a need in your neighborhood, your workplace, in an alley, a park, wherever, report it through Impact Umbrella's platform to thousands of other believers, courageous comrades who will instantly be notified to pray, give, and help. As multitudes of believers mobilize with practical love in our communities, the world will see and know who Jesus is. So how do you start? Simply sign up for your free account at impactumbrella.com and join today. Download the free mobile app on your mobile phone at Google Play or iStore and stay connected to the latest developments. Learn how exciting and broad his story is for you and others around you by sending and receiving stories and needs anytime, anywhere on your mobile phone. You can also send reports anywhere, anytime by texting, emailing, or tweeting. Whenever you send a post to Impact Umbrella, remember TLC, your message. What does that stand for? It stands for Time, Location, Content. TLC. Send the time, location, and give us the content of your report by our Twitter account at #ImpactUmbrella or email us a report at 1millionreports@gmail.com. If you don't have data or internet access, you can TLC a report by texting us at 1-431-800-4777. God's doing amazing things throughout our city every day. Receive the latest miracle stories and needs in your own backyard on your phone or computer today. Be inspired so you can be a courageous part of His love revolution in your world.
Okay. Okay, that says it a lot better than I could say it to you. Okay. I want to encourage you guys, get an account. Let's start sharing this. I've just started talking to one church. Like I said, we started it 3 weeks ago. I've got a number of youth groups that are wanting to jump in. I've got a school with another school that may jump on board. It's only been really in the last week that I've started to talk, and people are going, yes, this is awesome. This is what, you know, kingdom living is all about, encouraging each other and moving forward, not just one day a week, but 7 days a week, wherever you live. So going back to what we talked about earlier, because I got to be, you know, we got to wrap this up in a good church way. Father's Day, right? You have a story, and your dad has given you a unique, wonderful, exciting story, something that reflects your personality and your gifts. And so, you know, together as a congregation, trusting God that He's going to release and teach you, Father God, what's your story for me? What's with my friend set and people that I'm in and my job? What's the story that you created for me that was meant to enliven me and excite me and declare who you are? Let's pray that, amen? And then, dads, can I ask you to stand up? Normally, I would love to on a Father's Day, but I just felt like I needed to take a little bit of time for the Impact Umbrella. But just to honor and to allow Father God just to speak blessing over the fathers in this room. Now, I am a father too, so is there a mother that would like to come up and pray a blessing over the fathers in the room? I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot, but all right, we got two coming.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you for these fathers, Lord, for the amazing dads that they are, for the amazing encouragement that they are. Lord, I see so many father their children well here, and it's encouraging and strengthening. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for their strength and for their encouragement, Lord. And I just pray that as they go forward from here, Lord, that they are encouraged and they are strengthened, Father, and that they see who they really are, that they see themselves like you see them, Father. Bless them, Lord, today in Jesus' name.
Lord, we know you. You know each of these men intimately. You know their fears, their weaknesses, their strengths, their dreams. God, I thank you for these men who've chosen to be selfless. I know they're not perfect. But they've chosen to be committed. God, I pray just a covering over each of these men. Lord, I ask for profound wisdom and strength as they lead their families. And as they're an example of what's so dear to your heart. I hear him saying, well done. Keep going. It's worth it. It's worth it.
This is what I was reading this week, and I just was impressed to read it over the men in this group. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinion. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Father, I just thank you that scripture is the blessing that we pray over these men. Father, your word is true, it is strong, and Father, I pray courage and strength and honor into these guys that have been so much a part of our lives, and Father, I thank you that they will see the benefits in their children and those that they work with and their wives, and they will see the benefits of those and of their decisions in their life. Father, I pray for intimacy with you, and that and they will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace, and they will lead their children and their families in that way as well. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. I'll maybe let Dan close, but thank you for your patience and allowing me to go over time.
I'm only going to take 40 seconds of your time. On your way out, there's a book for all fathers. At the back, pick one up. If you're hesitant to pick it up, the last chapter is on what if I failed. So pick it up, read that one first, and then start from the beginning. It is a simple, practical book that will minister to your heart of walking with your children in the different seasons of their life. July 1, 2 weeks from now, family camp. Many of you are going to be at family camp. We need a hand showing for how many of you think you might be here if we're going to plan a Sunday morning service or not. I know many, many are gone. How many will be here for a Sunday morning service that morning? Three of you, maybe four, maybe five. Okay, stay tuned. We will announce next Sunday. I'm going to send out an email as well if we have a Sunday morning service that Sunday or not. If not, we're going to encourage you to be participating in the body of Christ in our community that Sunday morning. So stay tuned. We'll announce it next Sunday. Bless you.